The answer to this question is quite simple, and it's one act, and most of us avoid doing it. Welcome to Codependency Alchemy, the podcast, where we explore the power of healing the mother wound by exploring codependency in our relationships. Let's get into this week's episode. Hey babes, welcome back to Codependency Alchemy, the podcast. I'm your host, Alyssa Zander, and if you're watching this video podcast on YouTube, you will see and probably hear I have a special guest with us today, Frank, my big, old, cute, freaking adorable lab, is sitting on the couch with me because Justin went to go rock climbing, and whenever Justin leaves the house, he sits and looks out the window until he gets home. So he is here. You'll probably hear him like deep sigh and shuffle around. And so that's what we're working with today. I've still got a little bit of raspiness in my voice, so thank you guys for bearing with me as I navigate that. Today's podcast episode is going to actually be pulled from my Substack chat. In my Substack, there is a chat that I do AMAs in once a month. So, and sometimes more, because, you know, I love connecting with you guys. If you don't know what AMAs are, they are Ask Me Anythings. So you guys can submit your questions and I can respond or give you guys guidance or support. Today, I wanted to pull one of the questions that was submitted because I think it's really, really valuable. And the answer to this question is actually super simple, and it's the thing that we avoid the most. Her question was, how do you regulate your nervous system when you're fighting with your partner? And like I said, the answer to this question is actually very simple, a very simple, like actionable thing to do. But it's like the last thing that we choose. We usually do quite literally the opposite. First, I want to start off with a basis because I think a lot of people don't actually know what it physically feels like. And this can be a key tool to use to bring awareness to what nervous system dysregulation even feels like. So for those of you who don't know what their body feels like when you're dysregulated, I want you to... Sorry, Frank's like moving around. I want you to think about a time where you were in a conflict or when you were in a very uncomfortable situation with someone, and our bodies can't really tell the difference between being physically in it or having a memory of it. So just taking a moment, if it's safe for you, to kind of close your eyes down and just sense into an experience, maybe it was recently, where you had an argument or a disagreement with your partner, and just notice what your body does. Notice what your breath does. Does your body start feeling tight? Does your breath begin to shallow? Learning the way that your body communicates dysregulation to you is a game changer across the board in your life because it shows you where you get to set boundaries for yourself so you don't fall into old patterns and acting from a wounded place. Now, are we going to act from a wounded place from time to time? Abso-fucking-lutely. I did so like this week because we're human and we're having experiences. It's not that we're going to make those types of activations and triggers disappear, but the more we can have a relationship with our body and the way it communicates with us, the more that we can pause and reflect and tend to what our body needs so that we can move from a place of centeredness, a place where we feel grounded, a place where we feel safe. When we feel safe and grounded, we respond dramatically differently than when we are feeling unsafe, exhausted, and triggered. So going back to feeling into what that feels like in your body when you're dysregulated, imagining yourself maybe in a conflict that you had recently. For me, my body's indicators or the way that my body communicates dysregulation with me is I get shallow breath. So I start noticing that it's even hard for me to take a deep breath. I notice also my ears get hot, like they're on fire. And I also tend to lose feeling in my fingertips. I know it's kind of like random, but I know if one of those three things are happening, I'm dysregulated. And when that happens, it's like when my ears get hot, it's like, boom, that's my cue, right? My ears are hot. I'm dysregulated. So before I respond to this, can I pause? Before I respond to this, can I allow myself to figure out what this is activating in me so that I can tend to that first before responding? So that's where I said at the very beginning of this, the answer to this question is quite simple, and it's one act, and most of us avoid doing it. That one act is pausing and tabling the conversation. That one act is asking for a moment for you to take care of yourself and come back to it at a later time. The reason why we don't do this is because it's typically activated a part of us that is afraid of abandonment, afraid of rejection, or afraid of being wrong because of what that might mean about us. And so we go into defending ourselves. We go into trying to make ourselves right. And I know I just did a whole podcast episode about defending yourself. If you want to listen to that one, there's a lot of supportive teachings in that as well. And what I was trying to communicate mostly in that episode is defending ourselves doesn't actually bring in more connection. It doesn't actually support our relationships in getting to where we want them to be and how we want them to feel. And it doesn't get us into solutions with our partner either. So a way that we can regulate our nervous system when we're fighting with our partner is to ask for a moment to tend to yourself. So what that can look like and what that can sound like is in the middle of a fight, you can say, I'm noticing that my ears are hot and I'm losing feeling in my fingertips and I'm wanting to defend myself. I need to table this conversation for right now and come back to it later. I would like to discuss this tomorrow morning. I know it sounds so weird because it feels like another language. Women that I've worked with in the past immediately go into, I know that won't work. My husband won't listen. He'll just override it. He'll just blaze through it. We get to hold our boundary. So if your partner bulldozes past that and wants to continue to argue, you get to say, I hear this conversation is really important to you and you want to continue this right now, and I am unable to meet you and listen in a way that is constructive. Again, holding the boundary. You're acknowledging and validating where they're at, but you're also holding the boundary of right now is not the time for you to continue to participate in this conversation. When I do this with people who I need to set boundaries with and they continue to, you know, bulldoze past that boundary, I just see it as not they're disrespecting me, because I think that's a slippery slope for being able to then feel like the victim in the situation. I have learned from my own experience of victimhood that that actually doesn't support me in feeling empowered and feeling joy and feeling happiness in my life and relationships. So instead, I see it as this person is showing me where they can meet me, and right now they can't hear me. Right? I've set my boundary. They've bulldozed past it. I've validated them and that this conversation is important to them. And I hear they want to have it right now, but I can't. They bulldozed it again. Okay. They just can't hear me right now. I don't have to take it personally, but I do have to take responsibility for my boundary. At that point, you remove yourself. I like to give myself a couple times of letting that person, one, see me. I'm being open, honest, transparent, which is what I value in relationships. And so I'm allowing my partner to meet me in that if they're able to. If they bulldoze past that, I give them another opportunity where I reflect to them that I see them and give them an opportunity to see me again with articulating my boundary. And if they bulldoze past that, okay, this person cannot meet me in my boundary. I gave them an opportunity. And you don't have to give them two. You don't have to give them one. You can remove yourself if you absolutely need to. You know what you need in the moment. What I've learned for me is that the safer I feel with myself, the more self-trust I've built with myself, the easier it is for me to articulate my boundaries with someone and give them the opportunity to meet me, because I know at the end of the day, like, I'm going to take care of myself. When I don't feel super safe with myself, when I am really dysregulated, which still happens, then I don't have the capacity to kind of give them a couple chances to meet me. Sometimes I say, I need to take a break. And it's just, that's that. And I walk away. sometimes when I'm really dysregulated and don't feel safe, it's silent treatment. I'm not saying that that's okay, but sometimes that's what we need in the moment. And it doesn't mean that we're wrong or bad, but I do encourage you, if you're a silent treatment person out there, because I am too, repairs are so important after silent treatment. If that was the only place that you knew how to go safely to retreat and withdraw, I get it. I do it. I know that sometimes that's the most accessible place for us in the moment. Repairs are so important. Repairs are so important after a silent treatment because it helps bring deeper connection with your partner and deeper intimacy and lets them know what was going on for you in that moment. Because a lot of us grew up in homes where the silent treatment or withdrawing love is a control tactic. It's something that people do when they don't feel in control, and so they use it as a way to regain some semblance of control. And that's why coming in and making the repair is so important, because relationships are not about controlling each other. Relationships are not about controlling what the other person does or does not do. Relationships are about learning. They're about learning yourself. They're about learning about other people. They're about experiencing more love, more joy, more happiness. And I know we're shifting out of this control, victim, villain, perpetrator paradigm where the relationships were all based off of control. They were based off ownership. They were based off of these roles that two people are supposed to play. And what we're stepping into is loving, reciprocal relationships that are based on sovereignty, authenticity, unconditional love, compassion for our humanness, the part of us that does go into silent treatment and withdrawing when we're dysregulated. Unconditional love is you coming in and repairing and your partner being able to see you and meet you in that. Okay, so something that kind of happens to me when I'm talking with you guys here on the podcast or with clients, the people who I hold space for, is these, you know, some people call them downloads, right? Some people call them, you know, like nudges, like spirit talking through. And when it gets loud and like repetitive, a lot of times that feels like to me, like, please communicate this, please say this, it needs to be said. So this was kind of happening as I was sharing that last piece. So I'm just going to communicate this because I'm trusting that someone out there needs to hear this who's maybe listening to this episode. When we repair with our partner and open the doors for a deeper level of intimacy with them, and they take what we are sharing and they use it against us to either make us feel more guilty or shameful or bad about ourselves, it is important for you to know that it is necessary for you to set a boundary with that person exactly in that moment. I feel like this thought is coming through for people who are potentially in a relationship with someone who is maybe like narcissistic or abusive, because when we open the doors for someone to see us more fully or more deeply, it can almost be like ammo for the other person to then use against us. If that is what ends up happening for you, set the boundary and walk away. It is never okay for somebody else to take your vulnerability and use it against you. And now this can even happen in like not abusive relationships, right? Like there's times when Justin's dysregulated and he'll use something against me. And in which case I hold a boundary, right? Like I hear you using that against me and I'm going to walk away now. Like you don't have to participate in the conversation. You don't have to tell them what they're doing wrong, but you do need to hold the boundary for yourself. Now, if that happened in my relationship with Justin every time I was vulnerable, we have an issue, right? There's an issue there. But if it happens every once in a while and I'm noticing that when he's doing it, it's because he's literally what I call flailing, like he's flailing, he's dysregulated, he feels some type of way, then I can see that it's his ego or it's his humanness just trying to regain some semblance of control. And honestly, I think that's the truth for narcissists too. Like there is a fear, a deep, deep, deep-seated fear of being perceived as wrong or bad, and a lack of self-confidence and trust within themselves and in their relationships, that they just grasp for any way that they can gain control over somebody else. And if you give them that ammo through sharing vulnerably, like, they'll take it and they'll use it. It's not personal against you. It is literally something that they're personally going through. But that doesn't mean that you have to stay. I made this post recently where I talked about grace, because a lot of women who I've worked with who are navigating codependency, they say they offer grace, they offer grace, they offer grace. But grace isn't grace if somebody in your relationship or someone in the situation is the bad guy. That's not grace. So if that's how these conversations continue to play out, where when you share vulnerably, it's thrown back at you, or when you go to make a repair, you're judged, shamed, or blamed for your behavior, I would take a moment to go back and consider what it is that you value in a relationship, how it is that you desire to feel, and if this relationship with this person at this time is aligned with those. This does not mean that you do not love them. This does not mean that you don't care about them. It means that you are considering the fact that you maybe both want and need different things in your life and in your relationship. And staying in a relationship that isn't aligned isn't actually the most loving thing that you can do for yourself or for that person. Okay, I just feel like I came out of some like weird fog. I don't know. I almost don't even know what I said. Hopefully when I listen to this back, it makes some sense, or it makes sense for someone out there. But I'll try to go ahead and get back on track around regulating your nervous system when you're in a fight with your partner. Whew. Gotta love when that happens. So I've shared the one thing that is most valuable when you're dysregulated in a fight with your partner, and that's to take space. It's to ask for space. And the first way to do that is validating and reflecting back to your partner what it is that you hear them saying. I hear that you want to have a conversation about X, Y, or Z. And then the second thing that you want to do is you want to share what you're experiencing in your body somatically. I notice that this conversation is making my ears really hot. It's giving me shallow breath, and I'm starting to lose feeling in my fingertips, which is my indicator that my nervous system is dysregulated and I'm not going to be able to listen and meet you in a way that you need and that our relationship will benefit from. Sometimes I even will tell Justin, I'm noticing that my ears are hot and I'm dysregulated and I want to blame you or I want to defend myself. So I think it's best if we table this conversation for right now. So again, one, validating and reflecting back to your partner what it is that they're communicating. Two, letting your partner know what you're experiencing somatically and what your boundary is. Lastly, it's giving a timeline and when that conversation can happen. Because a lot of times we say, I need to table this, and we just sweep it under the rug and never gets talked about again. So giving a timeline of when that conversation will happen keeps you and your partner both on the same page. And it says this conversation is important and we are going to have it, and this is the time that we're going to have it. So can we table this conversation until dinner? Can we table this conversation for an hour? Can we table this conversation until tomorrow morning? So those are the three things that I would say and make sure that you touch on when you're in the conflict with your partner. And then when you're outside of that, when you're in that in between of the conflict and the timeline in which you're going to have the conversation that's been tabled, I would bring your breath in. Deep breaths in through your nose and out through your mouth so that you can begin to start bringing yourself back into your body. And then I would go into the three things that I talk about in this podcast all the time. I would do shadow work first, to identify what it is that this conversation is triggering within you. This can be identifying the story that you're telling yourself about the situation. And then I would ask, where does that live in my body? I would go into the somatics. Where does that fear live in my body? What does it look like? What does it feel like? Does it have a color, a shape, a texture, a size? Is it big? Is it small? And then I would ask, how old is this part of me that has this fear? How old is the part of me that tells this story? after identifying where it lives in your body, maybe what it feels like and how old this part of you is, I would ask it, what does this part of me need from me? So you're going in and you're regulating your nervous system by tending to the part of you that is at the surface from this conflict. It might be the part of you that says, no one listens to me. It might be the part of you that says, I'm always wrong or I'm always bad. Or it might be the part of you that says, I'm afraid I'll end up alone. Just notice the story, the fear, asking what it needs from you. Does it need compassion? Does it need love? Does it need safety? And so if you get a word, I get more specific with this part of me. What can I do right now to bring safety into my body? What can I do right now to bring more compassion into my body? And see what it says. Sometimes it's like, go right. Sometimes it's go outside, go for a walk. Sometimes it's take a nap. Sometimes it's drink some water, girl. You haven't drank water all day. Sometimes it's, do you not hear your stomach rumbling? Get some food in your belly. It's checking in with ourselves and then seeing like, oh shit, I totally forgot to drink water today. I need to get my feet on the ground outside. I need to breathe fresh air. Sometimes these little things are just exactly what we need to anchor back into ourselves so that we can have a conversation that's grounded, rooted, sovereign, safe. And then we can come back into the conflict with our partner and focus on solutions. What is really underneath the conflict? Because usually what we're fighting about with our partners, that's not really the issue. There's something underlying. I'll go ahead and give an example about what I mean. Like the other day, we were supposed to go out to lunch together and he decided he wanted to play video games and I got really upset. It's not that I got upset that he wanted to play video games and that we had plans to go to lunch that day and he canceled them. It's that I wanted to spend time with him and connect with him, right? And so all of the details of that are seemingly what the conflict is about, but really what the conflict is about is that there's a part of me that wanted to connect and be with him and have a moment of intimacy with him that felt like it got taken away. So when I can identify what's underneath the details of the conflict, I can then say, oh, there's a part of me that wants to connect and have intimacy with him. So that's what I present to Justin. I don't go into, you canceled plans and that hurt my feelings and you always do this. No, it's, hey, I'm noticing that I'm really wanting to connect and have like an intimate moment with you. How can we do that today? Or how can we do that in the next few days? So I start focusing on solutions when I can uncover and identify what it's really about. It's not about him not doing the dishes. It's that I don't feel supported. So I'm going to come to the conversation with, I want to feel supported. How can we choose something that you do that helps me feel supported? And what is something that I can do that can help you feel supported? It goes both ways. So it's not just pointing out somebody's inadequacies, it's allowing for collaboration. It's allowing for reciprocity. And this is what it means to be in a loving reciprocal relationship. It's not only bringing into the conversation what you need, but saying, I also want to hear what you need as well and how I can meet you. Whew. So we covered a whole lot in this episode. Thank you so much for ebbing and flowing with me in it. We'll just do a little like overview as like the crows are crowing outside my window. I don't know if you guys can hear them, but we went ahead and dove into a question that was submitted on Substack AMAs, which was, how do you regulate your nervous system when you're in a fight with your partner? The first thing that I shared to do was take space. And we can communicate that by first validating what our partner is trying to communicate. Secondly, sharing with our partner what we're experiencing somatically and what our boundary is, and ending with a timeline in which you'll come back to this conversation. I also shared about how you can regulate your nervous system after you're in that space time, because the question was, right, how do you regulate your nervous system when you're fighting with your partner? It's like, get out of the fight that you're having so that you can bring your nervous system into a state of regulation by doing the shadow work, inner child work, and somatic work. We had a few tangents in there that, like I said, I hope when I re-listen to this, it like makes sense somewhat. I trust that whatever came through today was meant for somebody. There was some semblance of wisdom in there for someone. And that's what I have for you guys today. If this episode was supportive, I would really appreciate it if you took the time to rate the podcast, leave a review, and share it with friends, family, anyone that you think could also benefit from these types of conversations. If you post it on Instagram or social media, please tag me so I can like it, repost it. You guys are seriously just such a huge support in growing this podcast. I'm so grateful for you guys. Also, if you're not already a paid subscriber on Substack, our goal is 50 paid Substack subscribers before the end of the year, and we only need 38 more to reach our goals. So if you find this podcast valuable, I would definitely go check out the Substack newsletter where I share shadow work prompts, guided meditations, live Q&As, AMAs. And this week, there's going to be a bonus episode that will be a guided meditation for how to heal your inner people pleaser. So definitely go check it out. I'll leave all the links below. I hope you have a beautiful day, and I'll see you next week. Thank you for joining me on Codependency Alchemy. I hope this podcast continues to offer you valuable insights and tools for breaking free from destructive patterns and creating healthy, fulfilling connections with others. And if you found this podcast helpful, I would love it if you would consider leaving an honest rating and review so that others can discover these valuable insights and tools as well. Find out how codependency might be impacting your life by taking the self-assessment, which you can find in the show notes below. Thanks again for tuning in. And remember, you are worthy of healthy, fulfilling relationships, and you have the power to transform your codependency into sovereignty.